Take your Bibles, 1 Peter chapter 3. And we're going to stand here, if you can, out of love and respect for God's Word. We're going to read the first seven verses here in 1 Peter chapter 3. And this is going to be an interesting one. Now, I want you to understand, okay, in no way, shape, or form am I just going to be preaching to the ladies tonight, okay? Because this has to do with all of us. And I'll remind you of that as we get going. But there are a lot of good things for ladies to hear, okay? There are also a lot of good things for men to hear. So all I want you to do is to take all of your prior knowledge about relationships and set it aside, okay? Let's just start with a clean slate, because I'm not going to give you my opinion tonight. I'm going to give you what the Bible says, okay? So don't get mad at me. Get mad at the Bible. I don't like that, or I don't think a wife should do that. I don't think a husband should do that, okay? Don't get mad. I'm just reading the Bible, okay? Look here. All the little tiny print is Scripture, all right? All the big print are my comments, all right? You can see that the little tiny print overrides the big print. Okay, on my paper, since you can't see that far. Okay, it does. Okay, so let's just set all our presupposed and pre-learned and pre-thought things aside, and see what God has to say about it, and then you can decide if you want to listen to God or not. I kind of put you in a corner there, didn't I? Well, I intended to. All right, I'll read. You follow along. Likewise, I like that word, by the way. We'll get back to that. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. Whose adorning let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair, and of wearing of gold, or of putting on of apparel, let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner, in the old time, the holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well and are not afraid with any amazement. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife, as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Now, I say all that to say this. I'm not going to try to change your marriage relationships, okay? I just want you to think about what God has to say. And you know, that's all we can really do is to consider what God has to say and then decide, what are we going to do with this? You know, what am I going to do with this knowledge? Remember, we talked this morning about learned, right? Things that you have learned, but it says both learned and received, right? Something that we've adapted or accepted into our lives. That's what we need to look to. So as we look at this, we have to start out with this first word, okay? He says, likewise. Now, please understand, chapter and verse divisions, okay, we're not in the book of 1 Peter as he's writing to these people. Okay, everybody understands that, right? We've talked about this before. But when the translators went through and they put in these things, they tried to do it based on, you know, topics and things like that, or transitions in the letters, etc. Kind of like a paragraph, if you will, you know, just kind of a changing of subject and such and so forth. And there are books that you can read about the chapter and verse placements and things like that, and why they did what they did in research of our King James Bible. But if you go back to chapter 2, Peter is talking to, remember, time out, sorry. Let's go back to chapter 1. Remember to whom he is speaking. All right?
Gentile believers, strangers and pilgrims, right? So these are people that didn't know how God ordered relationships. They didn't know that God put into effect husband and wife, you know, all this stuff. They are drawing from their pagan heritage. All right? So you think about what happened, what has happened here. You have this big movement in Jerusalem after the death of Jesus Christ. And thousands of people are getting saved. The church is growing leaps and bounds. Jesus told them they would be witnesses in Judea and in Samaria, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth, right? So he told them that they were going to expand. Well, they had the Jerusalem part right, right? They had the Judea part right, and then it kind of in that text, if you will, and then they were kind of getting into Samaria, etc. But he really had to kind of send some things in there to scatter them abroad. So these Jewish Christians are scattered abroad. Now they're going back because they had all assembled for the Passover from various different countries. And I don't have time to explore all this. I know Brother Minter, you've explored this, and some of you others that have perhaps been to Bible college or just studied on your own. You understand that when God says in the fullness of time Jesus came, that this was the right time. And this was a special time that when Pentecost took place, all right? It was a special time. There were tens of thousands of people from all over the world gathered together in Jerusalem by coincidence. Why? So they would take Christ back to their own countries where they came from Cappadocia, from Asia, from Bithynia, from Galatia, from Pontus, and on all these places. It was done on purpose. So now Gentiles are getting saved, right? Through Peter's ministry, through Paul's ministry, through as Barnabas went to Cyprus, you know, later on with John Mark. Now Gentiles are being saved by the droves, which is a great thing. We could all say amen to that. Okay? Listen, but they don't know anything about this stuff. They don't know about husband-wife relationships or the order of things, how God would have things to be in a person's life, because they're not Jews. That they weren't taught the law. They weren't taught these things. They had no idea how things work. So Peter, Paul, of course, did a good job. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He taught and trained. Peter's just reinforcing these things to these Gentile believers. So in chapter 2, he talks about Christian living and how we ought to live and as newborn babes desiring the sincere milk of the word. And then he talks about how they should be a good citizen and why they should be a good citizen for the glory of God. That men should glorify God. He said that we should be good employees. In verse 18, servants be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. He talks about this and about suffering for Christ's sake, right? And he talks about following Christ's example. And then in chapter 3, he says, likewise. So he's continuing to teach about relationships. He's continuing to teach these Gentile believers about how things should go. He has addressed general and broad Christian living, how you should live amongst the rest of the lost world. He says, hey, you should do a certain service as a Christian in government, as a citizen. You know, that's the right thing to do. And he says, hey, as an employee in your work, you should live a certain way, follow Christ's example, suffer for Christ's sake, if you will. And then he says, he gets to chapter 3 and he says, likewise, ye wives. Okay? So now he's just saying, look, I'm trying to teach you the principles of Christian living in all areas of your life. This is not a separate chapter, if you will. This is not a separate thought. That word likewise says, I'm continuing this thought. I'm continuing this teaching about relationships And I'm getting down to a very specific relationship. I've discussed you being a citizen. I've discussed you being just a general Christian. I've discussed you being an employee, a worker. And now I'm going to discuss wives and husbands. Makes sense to me, doesn't it? So, again, I get on these little kicks. You ever notice that? I get on little kicks, little things. I don't know what you would call them. I guess they're rabbits that I've caught and chased, you know, or chased and caught. But I'm on this little kick here God only gave us so many pages of this book. Out of all the millions of things that could be, I mean, maybe trillions, maybe gazillions, I don't know, whatever aliens you can make up, of things that he could have recorded in Scripture, he chose to record this. I'm on this little kick right now. I told you that, right? So, why? Why out of all the things that he could have said, why out of all the things that he could have taught us here in 1 Peter 3, why does he say this? And I'm just going to say this, because it's important. Because he says, you Gentile believers, you need this to be successful in your life. For me, to live for me, to love me, you need to keep my commandments, you need to live a certain way, you need to be holy, you need to be sanctified, set apart, but you need to have relationships right. I want you to be a good employee for my sake. I want you to be a good citizen for my sake. I want you just to live well for my sake. And I want you to be a good wife for my sake. And I want you to be a good husband for my sake. And children, I want you to be good children for my sake. We need to be taught these things. Because if we try to come up with this stuff on our own, we're going to come up with the wrong idea most of the time. And those of you husbands and wives that have been married for longer, let's say longer than 10 years, okay? I'll give some of you a benefit of the doubt there. Why are you coughing, Brother Hollingshead? You all been married longer than 10 years. 10 years and a half, right? Something like that, yeah. But you know what? I'm going to guess this is true because it's true for me. I'm going to guess you wish you probably knew more about marriage. How do I want to say this? You wish you knew more about marriage when you started than as you know now. You know what I mean? You wish you knew more about it, right? Because how many of us have made some mistakes? Wives, go ahead and poke your husbands. It's okay. Guys, raise your hand. No, don't poke your wife, Brother Dart. I saw that. That's not the right thing. Come down here to the altar. All right. We've all made mistakes in our things that we wish probably wouldn't have done, or how we've treated our husbands or our wives. We probably made mistakes, and we wish, man, I wish I would have never have done that, right? I wish I've never treated her that way, or I wish I've never treated him that way, and I wish somebody would have taught me this before. I guess that's really what I was trying to say the first time. I wish I knew, because listen, success is not what we make of it. Success is what happens when we follow what God says we're supposed to do. So this is what we need to do. And so here, let's just listen. And I've got lots of scriptures here to back this up, because I want to see what God says a wife should be, or what God says a husband should be, what God says the children are supposed to be in a relationship. And listen, kids, it's okay to learn this stuff now. Because maybe you could be a young man or a young lady going into a marriage relationship having learned and received some of these things. And then maybe 10 years down the line, you can have less to say, well, I wish I would have done this, because now you know more. By the way, to whom much is given, much is required, right? So maybe you don't want to hear this stuff. No, you do. You do want to hear it, I promise. Okay, so let's listen. Look what it says. Likewise, ye wives, you that are sojourners and pilgrims in this world, you that are Gentiles, he said, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands. So he's saying here, look, you need to, in order to be a good example, be in subjection to your own husbands. And then he gives a reason. That if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. Now, there are some thoughts about this particular verse. Some people think that this verse is all about a saved wife being a testimony to an unsaved husband. And I'm not opposed to that. That could possibly be true. But what about this? What about it being an example of a saved wife being an example to her saved husband to get some things right in their marriage relationship and in their relationship with God? It could be that way also, could it not? Okay, so I'm for both ways, but in both ways, the wife is to be in subjection to her own husband. So this is something important, because there's a reason that the word is upheld, that if they maybe don't, it says they don't obey the word, and it says maybe without the word, be won by the conversation of the wives. Ladies, you have such an influence over us. I'm not ashamed to admit that. Okay? You ladies have a absurd power over us. Okay? I'm just gonna call it that. Alright? You do. You have such great influence. I will do things that I never would normally do because my wife wants me to do it. I would. I mean, it's amazing. I will turn off a football game because I know my wife wants me to spend some time with her. Who said, well? I think that's amazing. You say, that's really simple. Well, it may be simple to you, but I'm a man, okay? Et cetera. Now, I haven't got to the place where she looks at me with these puppy dog eyes during hunting season. And she says, I don't want you to go. And I'm like, I'm going. So I haven't given up on that one just yet. But you ladies do have such an influence in a husband's life. And you ought to use that influence to win them by your conversation to the Lord. Okay? Not just to salvation, if you will, if they're not saved, but to the right kind of living and to the right way of seeing things according to how God sees them. Okay? So you have an opportunity by the way you live your life to be an example. Look on what it says here. While they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. You understand that we ought to consider our words, the things that we say and how we say them. So Peter's telling, now guys, don't just check out here because this is important. Let me just give you a little hint. The Bible says in verse 7 that we're supposed to dwell with them according to knowledge. Okay, so you need to know this stuff about these ladies. Okay, so yes, they need to be in subjection, but it's not like, okay, the husband is the master and the wife is the slave. Okay, that's not what it's talking about. Okay. It's just saying, basically, the husband has a place given by God, and a wife has a place given by God, and the husband is the head of the wife. That is a God-given chain of command. Okay? It's not Neanderthal man standing up here with a big club and dragging his wife by the hair around the house. No, that is not how it is. Okay? It is a chain of command. It's a way of order, and we know our God does everything decently and in order. So he's saying to these Gentile wives, he says, look, be in subjection. Be in subjection. And if we want to borrow from the previous things that he said, he says, look, sometimes you're going to suffer wrongfully. but be in subjection. Everybody okay with that? I teach this principle as a principle. Two different principles there. Okay? I teach this to the kids at school, or I used to teach. I guess I still do, but now my students are my kids. Even if the teacher's wrong, the teacher's the authority. It's not the kid's job to chastise the teacher. That's my job. I'm the principal. I get to chastise teachers. In my household, we don't let our kids chastise our other kids. Because it's not their job. It's my job. I'm the dad. That's not their job. Okay? And so, listen, ladies. I know it may be hard, and us husbands are sometimes stubborn and difficult to deal with. But it's God's job to judge us and to take care of us. It's the pecking order that God has put into place. God, husband, wife, children. I mean, it's how it goes. You say, I don't like that. I'm sorry. It's just how it is. But you can, by your conversation, win your husbands, change their minds. Because of how you act. I tell this story all over the place. One of my dear friends, Brother Hall, a mentor, leader, he works up at Providence Baptist College, was in the military, a major in the military. Okay? And he was in charge of personnel movements and things like that. He was over in Korea. And his commanding officer one day called him into his office. And as soon as he walked in the door and stood at attention and all that stuff, that the man just lit into him with just everything that he had. Just, you know, cussing, loud, just everything. Just mad. Madder than mad can be. And Brother Hall just stood there and took it. And he of course didn't do anything. And when the officer was done, he dismissed him and he went off it, and he didn't, you know, go out into the room and talk about him to everybody else. He just took it. Well, turns out that was undue. It wasn't right. It was a mistake. The guy made a mistake, and he chewed out the wrong guy. Now, that man never formally apologized. But for the rest of his tour there, that man treated him with such dignity and such respect. He they were having a baby. He bought and sent stuff to their house. Because he knew he was wrong. But if that major would have stood there and started duking it out with the captain, saying he'd have been kicked out of the military. He said, but that's not fair. It's not about fairness. It's about chain of command. It's about being in subjection. Think about our relationships with God. Are there times where we think that what God is doing in our lives is unfair? Do we? So is it right for us to go to God? No, he just gave us an example, right? If we suffer wrongfully for Christ's sake, what is it? It's a joy, right? That's the example that Christ gave for us. In verse 20, remember back in chapter 2, verse 20, he says, for what glory is it if when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently, but if and when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. It's acceptable. Now, in no way, shape, or form am I saying that that's either right to do as a husband, to mistreat anyone, especially your wife. But I'm just saying, if it happens, what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to take it to the Lord, aren't we? We're supposed to, by our chaste conversation, with fear, he says, that's how we're supposed to do it. Chaste conversation coupled with fear. He says, who's adorning? Verse 3, let it not be that of outward adorning, of plaiting of the hair, and of wearing of gold, or of putting on of apparel, But let it be the hidden man of the heart, and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. You know what, ladies? It's good that you look great. I mean, that's good. Okay? Your husbands appreciate that, I'm sure. Okay? I appreciate that of my wife. But listen, that's not what it's all about. Because you can look good on the outside and be as ugly as can be on the inside. Okay? Or if you will, and I'm gonna talk this way. If you will, you can be as ugly as you want to be on the outside and be beautiful on the inside. You say, who are you talking to? Nobody. Okay? I'm not gonna look at any section of the building when I say that phrase. All right? Because I don't want to get in trouble. I don't like being in trouble. Now, isn't that true, ladies, right? You can be all prettied up, but be super ugly. And that is not the way we should live. And at the same time, again, you could perhaps be physically ugly or unadorned, if you will, but be the most beautiful wife that there is because of that ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, that ornament of a lady who has the hidden man of the heart, and it's not corruptible. In the sight of God, it's of great price. It's of great price. It is beautiful. It is wonderful. And that's what God has for us, if you will. Now, again, these things are not just for the ladies. It just happens to be that he says, wives, this is what you need to do. But guys, we can do some of these things too. As Christians, we can live this way. We should be in subjection to God, if you will. If anybody obeys not the word, they can see our testimony and be one to the Lord too. So this applies, okay? It just happens to be to the ladies. And it says here that in verse 5, for after this manner, in the old time. Now remember, he's having to give them a history lesson because these are Gentiles. They don't have any clue of this heritage. So he's trying to explain it to them. He says, after this manner, in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands. Okay? Now, you don't have to go around, ladies, calling your husband Lord. Okay? I don't make my wife, when I get home, oh, my Lord, how may I help you today? Or, oh, my Lord, thank you for coming home to be with us, your simple people and servants. You know, no, that's silly. Okay? I've never had to do that, have I? Oh, just stop it. All right. Anyways, I've never had my kids, you know, come to the house, and when I come home, you know, they all get in line and you know, lay themselves down so I can walk over them on, you know, so I don't get my feet dirty. Or... Okay, you're supposed to laugh. Thank you very much. Okay? I'd have a long way to walk if I did that. having 12 children. But no, that's not what it's about. No, but what it is he's saying this is your adornment. This is what you can show to the rest of the world. This is how we can be an example for Christ in our lives. He says, if you do this, he says, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are. Now listen to this. He calls them the daughters of Sarah and Abraham. But they're Gentiles. Well, they've been grafted in because of Jesus Christ. You understand all of that. So he says, hey, as long as ye do well and are not afraid with any amazement. So he says, you need to live this without fear. And you need to live this way with confidence. And it's not an amazing thing that you do this. It's not so strange and such a strange concept. It's actually something very natural, something the way that God created you. Okay, you say, what do you mean by that? Well, let's look at the scriptures that talk about how wives and husbands ought to have as far as a relationship. Look at Proverbs 31 if you want to, 10-31, or you could just listen because I have like 4.5 minutes to tell you all this stuff. But here we go. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband does safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant's ships. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household, and a portion to her maidens. She considereth a field, and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands she planteth the vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength, and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor, yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates, and when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. You understand, these Gentile believers had probably never heard Proverbs 31. They probably didn't know what a joy and a blessing it was to be a virtuous woman. Does this lady described in Proverbs 31 seem oppressed to you? Seem like a beaten down, trodden upon slave? No, not at all. She seems very happy, actually. Very productive, very, very satisfied in her life. And that's what God wants for us. So, over in 1 Corinthians 7, Paul did teach this in Corinth, but let me talk. This is an interesting passage of scripture. Let me just read it to you. Now concerning the things whereof ye wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband. Let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence. In other words, don't be a bully, right? Don't be a slave master. That's not what you are. And likewise, also the wife unto the husband. So what does that mean? Well, wives, be in subjection to your own husbands. That's what that means. And so he says, let the husband, the wife hath not power of her own body, but the husband. And likewise, also the husband hath not the power of his own body, but the wife. Defraud ye not one the other, except it be with consent for a time, that ye may give yourselves to fasting and prayer, and come together again. That Satan tempt you not for your incontinency. But I speak this by permission, and not of commandment. For I would that all men were even as I myself. But every man hath this proper gift of God. Remember, he who findeth a wife findeth a good thing, okay? Now, one after this manner and another after that. But I say therefore to the unmarried and widows, it is good for them if they abide even as I. But if they cannot contain, let them marry, for it is better to marry than to burn. And unto the married, I command, yet not I, but the Lord, let not the wife depart from her husband. But and if she depart, let her remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband. And let not the husband put away his wife. But to the rest speak I, not the Lord. If any brother hath a wife that believeth not, and she be pleased to dwell with him, let him not put her away. So you understand, he's saying this, and Peter just said this, hey, wives, be in subjection that you might win your husband. If he's pleased to dwell with you, then be a good example and win into Christ. Okay, that justifies that. That makes sense. Okay, and he goes on and he says, but if she depart, let her remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband. Let not the husband put away his wife. But to the rest, I read that already. I get lost here. Okay, and the woman which hath an husband that believeth not, if he be pleased to dwell with her, let her not leave him. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Else were your children unclean, but now are they holy. But if the unbelieving depart, let him depart. A brother or sister, is not under bondage in such cases, but God hath called us to peace. For what knowest thou, O wife, whether thou shalt save thy husband? Or how knowest thou, O man, whether thou shalt save thy wife? Now you understand in Corinthians, he's putting a lot of things back together here. But what's the gist of it? The gist of it is our example of Christ to others. That's the example. And listen, how much more so should the example of a godly wife be to her saved godly husband? Right? Iron sharpeneth iron, so doth the man sharpen the countenance of his friends. What's true about that? They're both iron. And they're both sharpening each other. It doesn't say iron hath sharpeneth clay, so that the man sharpen the countenance of his friends. Does it say that? No. Iron sharpeneth iron. So guess what? If you have a saved husband and a saved wife, and they're both behaving like they're supposed to in the marriage relationship, what's that going to do? It's going to make it a better relationship. But if one, perhaps if the wife is not in subjection to her husband, or if the husband is not what he needs to be to the wife, then how are they going to sharpen each other efficiently and correctly? Well, they're not. So Paul says, look, our testimonies matter. Peter says, hey, our testimonies matter. How we live our lives as wives and as husbands, that matters according to the Word of God and according to the overall cause. Remember, what is this overall cause? Christ. That Christ is magnified as a wife, that Christ is magnified in your life, and as a husband, that Christ is magnified in his life. Ephesians 5, 22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. There it is again. Colossians 3. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. Titus 2. The aged woman likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. That sounds pretty serious. We have now, what, four, five, or six different passages of scripture that state this very thing. And again, there's only so many words and so many pages in this book. Why is it listed so many times? Because it's important. Because God says that's how it's supposed to be. Now, I know I spent a lot of time on that because six verses of this were dedicated to that, okay? But only one verse dedicated to the husband. You say, that's not fair. Sorry, ladies. I didn't write it, okay? If I would have, it would have been 8 verses to 1. But please smile, okay? It was a joke, all right? All right, okay, all right. Amen. Thank you. Thank you for smiling. All of you, all you ladies smiled. Didn't get one frown. Amen. Well, maybe, I don't know. Let me go. Okay. I'm not going to do that. Now, husbands, we have a part two, okay? This is important for husbands. Just as a wife should be faithful to her husband and in subjection to her own husband and her conversation should be chaste and coupled with fear, her adorning and all these things, the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is great in the sight of God. It's of great price. The holy women who trusted in God, they were in subjection to their own husbands. They were adorned with that adorning. And that's how they're supposed to be. But husbands, we're supposed to be some way too. Look at verse 7. It says, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor to the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. So what is this? This is so that the world can understand what God has created and what God has done. Our world likes to portray the husband as a dummy. Okay? Look at all the popular sitcoms. All the popular shows about families, whether they're cartoons, i.e. The Simpsons, which is an abomination, okay? or whether it's other shows, the husband's always portrayed as a dummy. Husbands, we're not supposed to be dummies. We're supposed to be leaders. We're supposed to be wise. We're supposed to be influential in our families. We're supposed to be, make good decisions. We're supposed to walk with God more than anybody else in our household that walks with God. We're supposed to be walking point, if you will. All of you military people understand that phrase. Okay? That's our job. And you know why America's failing? You know why societies are failing today? You want to know why, in general, wives usurp authority over their husbands? Because husbands are dummies. So stop being dummies, husbands. Wise up. You say, what do you mean? Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge. Know your wife. Know what makes her tick. Not so you can push her buttons and see her go off. You know, he's like, oh, I'm going to figure out what makes her mad. And then every time I want to get advice out of her, I'm just going to push that button. Because, you know, I'm not any kind of an antagonist. I am. I'm like, well, what's that red button? Push that, you know. No, that's not what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to know so that we can cover up those things and not push those buttons. Oh, don't push that button. You want to see World War III start? Push that button. Go ahead. But we're supposed to learn them. We're supposed to dwell with them according to knowledge. We're supposed to learn our wives. We're supposed to give honor to our wife as the weaker vessel. We're supposed to use our strength and our wisdom to protect her because we are heirs of this life together. The husband and wife have become one. That's how God intended it to be. And so guess what? God even knows our frame. Husbands, he says this in Ephesians 5. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church, and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. He knows us, guys. He knows we are lovers of ourselves. Right? What drives a man? Pretty much pride, right? I mean, that's what drives pretty much every man. Okay? For the most part. Now, we of course need to control that, but think about this. If we actually loved our wives like we loved ourselves, our wives would be very loved. They would. They would be like super love. They would have so much love, they would drown in love. I mispronounced it, sorry. Drown in love. There's no D. They would, because, guys, do we take care of what we need really pretty much? I mean, listen, if I want ice cream, I go buy ice cream. I don't care if it's 2 o'clock in the morning. I go buy ice cream because I want ice cream. Okay? I've done that before. I've been sitting around maybe after the day and stuff, and I'll just get fidgety, and I'll go into the kitchen. I'll look in the freezer. I'll look in the fridge. I'll look in all the cabinets, and I'll go to the outside and look in the outside freezer and outside fridge, and I'll go and look in this cabinet or that cabinet. I have snacks stashed everywhere. Okay, so I'll go look through all my snacks, and I'll decide that none of those snacks are good enough, and I need to go to the store. So I go put my clothes back on, because I'm probably in my pajamas at that time, and I'll put my clothes back on, and I'll go get my wife. I'll open the door. She's like, "Where are you going?" I'm like, "I'll go to the store." Why? I need ice cream. Actually, one time I went to the store, and I didn't even know what I needed. How many of you have done that? Anybody else like you? Okay, I didn't know what I needed something, but I didn't know what it was. So I just walked up and down the aisle of Tom Thumb. I just was looking around. Well, that might look good. I look at the box. So I think I came home that night with bagel bites, jalapeno poppers, and I don't know what else. Pudding, maybe. I don't know. I'm strange. I'm sorry. But I take care of me. You know, guys, we do that, don't we? But how much do we take care of our wives and take care of our household like that? Okay, sometimes we don't. But we need to do that way. We need to dwell with them according to knowledge. We need to honor them as unto honoring the weaker vessel. That's because we're heirs together of these things. So a woman was not, this is something I borrowed from someone else, but a woman was not made from the head of man so that she would rule over man. A woman is not made from the foot of man so man could trample on her. A woman was made from man's rib, taken from near the heart so that she would be loved, protected, and have that comfort and have that safety because it's from the inner man. From close, a woman ought to feel close to her husband. And so you can take that however you'd like to, but that's exactly what we need to do as men. We need to know her weaknesses, know her hurts and fears, know her needs, know her dreams. We need to treat her, like, if you will, better than we would want to be treated. We take care of our own. We know our own weaknesses. We take care of that. We know our own hurts and fears. We take care of that. We know our own needs. We take care of that. We know our own dreams. We take care of that. But what about her? So, husbands, we need to do these things as well. In Ecclesiastes 9, Solomon writes, "Go thy way, eat thy bread with joy, drink thy wine with a merry heart, for God now accepteth thy works. Let thy garments be always white, and let thy head lack no ointment. Live joyfully with the wife from whom thou lovest all the days of thy life, of thy vanity, which he hath given thee under the sun, all the days of thy vanity, for that is thy portion in this life, and in labor which thou takest under the sun. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave, whither thou goest." I wrote that down in its entirety because I thought it was interesting. That he says, live joyfully with the wife of thy youth. And then he says this, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. How hard do we work, gentlemen, at our relationships with our wives? Why is that verse in the Bible right after he says, live joyfully with the wife of thy youth? Why isn't it somewhere else in the scriptures? I don't know. I just know it's there. Right after that, hey, live joyfully with the wife whom thou lovest all the days of thy life. That's how it should be for the husband. And we should work hard at it. Do it with all of our might, for there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. I can't build my marriage relationship after I'm dead. I can't love my wife after I'm dead. I can't take care of her. I can't know her. I can't help her. I can't give honor to her as the weaker vessel after I'm gone. I need to do it now. While we're here. It's a command in Scripture for husbands to love their wives. That's Ephesians 5:25. And then he repeats it later on. He says, so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. We need to love our wives. He says it a third time in verse 33. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. There it is again, ladies. The Bible doesn't repeat things because it forgot what it said here, there, or everywhere. It repeats it because it's important. So what does all this have to do with anything? Well, it has to do with everything, actually. It has to do with our conduct as a Christian. It has to do with our example of Jesus Christ in us. And the world, we should not expect the world to understand it. We should not be amazed that the world doesn't understand this. And you know what? We've got to check our lives to make sure that the world's philosophy about husbands and wives has not crept into our husband-wife relationship. And kids, you should think the right way about one day, a long time from now, a very, very, very long, long, long time from now. Very long. Extremely long. Forever long time from now. But you should think about it the way that God thinks about it, not the way the world thinks about it. Peter wanted to be a blessing to the Gentile believers who had no idea about how God created man and woman, the marriage relationship, the family relationship, the home. God has a design. We would be wise to follow His design, to take heed according to these things. Again, I did not make this up. I did not make up these Bible verses. I did not make up this ideology. It's right here in the Scriptures. And it has to do directly with our relationship with Jesus Christ. And we need to consider these things.